This is Warrior Sound. I'm Lawrence Scott, joined by Tim Roy, the broadcast voice of the Golden State Warriors as we enter the Western Conference semifinals. The Warriors getting set to face the Pelicans Saturday night at Oracle Arena, and the chatter is starting here. We had Jim Barnett on our live stream and talked a little bit about the series coming up. And Tim, when you look at this, ready to get the Pelicans asking for some input on their pelicans.com for you to kind of break down the series, and you're talking about it, you're thinking about it. What are some of the themes that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, first of all, when you say live stream and Jim Barnett in the same sentence, I have a vision of him fly fishing or something with a hat on and a vest. And
a river runs through it.
Yes, exactly. But with Pelicans.com, they basically wanted to know just some of the side things of the series. But I think, you know, one of the questions they asked was, what kind of a series do I expect it to be? And I think it's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be fast paced. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I think we're seeing, you know, two of the best starting fives in the league right now. With the group they're starting, they're 11-2 since they settled on this lineup. And I just think it's going to be a really entertaining series. We have star power. We have, you know, five of the best players in the league. And then you've got, you know, X-factors like Rondo, Holiday, Mirotic. You know, what kind of series are those guys going to have? They played extremely well against Portland. But I think this is going to be a series for the fans. I think this is going to be one where they're going to be really entertained. And I think this will be a must-watch series for the rest of the league.
You know, it's so strange. I remember distinctly the evening watching the Pelicans, and I don't remember exactly who they were playing, so I don't remember it completely distinctly, but I do remember when DeMarcus Cousins went down, and they kept showing on television on the ESPN broadcast shots of Dell Demps, the Pelicans general manager, and kind of this look on his like, what now? And these Pelicans at that time were outside of the playoff picture, but they fought their way back in and made a real statement against Portland.
Yeah, Dell Demps, actually a former Warrior, played for the Warriors for a cup of coffee there for a while, but he made a great move. He knew that there was something going on in Chicago with Nikola Mirotic. They wanted to move him. He makes this deal, and it just made everything fit. This is also a weird series to get ready for because you can throw out the four regular season games because the first three had DeMarcus Cousins on the team, and in two of those three, Curry didn't play, Durant didn't play, and then the last one, of course, Curry wasn't there. And so it's an entirely different matchup than we saw in the regular season. And I think that they deserve a lot of credit. I'm really happy for Alvin Gentry and his staff because they were dealing with a really tough circumstance the last couple of years, injuries and so on. And they've really made this team fit and believe. And if you watch their bench during that first round series, there's a lot of chemistry there. These guys really enjoy being around each other. And as we know with the Warriors, that's a huge deal. That kind of takes you from being good to great.
All right, we will continue with the themes, and we'll hear from R.C. Davis, who is joined by Scooter Berry on their podcast, The R.C. and Scooter Experience. But first, before we hear from R.C. and Scooter, a quick conversation with Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle, as he's been writing some articles about the ties between the Pelicans and the Warriors, including, of course, Steve Kerr and his time with Alvin Gentry that dates back to their days in Phoenix, and then obviously as Alvin was here with the Warriors, but also Darren Erman, who was a former Warriors assistant, Ian Clark being with the Pelicans, and on the live stream, you know, a lot of the discussion around that, Quinn Cook as well, a former Pelican now with the Warriors and making a real name for himself here. But here's the San Francisco Chronicle's Connor Letourneau as we continue with the themes. So Connor, many themes that will entice folks because there's some history with Alvin Gentry and Ian Clark and even Darren Erman. You're following this in your work with the Chronicle and covering this series, but let's start with the Steve Kerr, Alvin Gentry ties, and they run deep.
No, definitely. Obviously, their ties go way back to the Phoenix days when Steve was the general manager there, and Alvin started out as an assistant and then ended up staying on and eventually getting promoted to head coach when Steve was still there. And when Steve got the job here, his first head coaching job, his first coaching job really ever, the first person that he called was Alvin Gentry and said, hey, do you want to be my number two, my associate head coach? And they were partners in building what ended up being a pretty historic offense. Obviously, there were a lot of wrinkles that they worked on together to build what the Warriors are running today. And they had a lot of success that first season together, won the 2015 NBA title, and Alvin was able to parlay that into the head coaching job with the Pelicans, and they remain close friends to this day.
you know, you think of that time period, and of course Alvin Gentry, like you said, and also Ron Adams as the defensive coordinator on the Pelican side. There's a guy who was a Warriors assistant, Darren Erman, a lawyer by trade, who really bright guy who's made a big difference with their defense. And you just had something in the paper about Erman and his time here, and also with what it's making an impact to be in New Orleans. What did you learn from him?
Yeah, so Darren Erman is, in my opinion, he's probably the architect of this defense. You know, for a long time, the Warriors were a team that was all about outscoring opponents. And under Mark Jackson, they finally started to buy into defense. And Darren Erman was kind of the defensive coordinator under Mark Jackson. Obviously, Mike Malone got a lot of credit, but Darren Erman introduced the ice, which is basically how they defend pick and rolls, which this league is so predicated on pick and rolls. And he also was really key in the defensive development of Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, guys who are obviously still key to this team. And since he's gone to the Pelicans, he's helped them make phenomenal strides the past couple years defensively. They were one of the worst teams in the league defensively when he got there. Now they're up in the top half, and they did a great job against Portland. And I think a lot of that was because of his ability to game plan for the backcourt the Blazers have. So I'm curious to see what he schemes up against Golden State. It's going to be fun to watch.
And let us not forget, Quinn Cook was a Pelican, but also on the Warriors last year, Ian Clark, who has brought his talents to NOLA. Ian, what has he been providing this season for the Pelicans?
He's provided a nice scoring punch off the bench. He actually has a very similar role to what he had with the Warriors last season. And I think it's interesting because the Warriors wanted to bring him back. They would have brought him back. They just thought that because of the nice season he had last season, that he would demand a multi-year deal in free agency, and they just weren't able to offer that. But unfortunately for Ian, the way free agency went last year, he did not get a multi-year deal, ended up actually signing with the Pelicans for a minimum one-year deal, which in hindsight the Warriors would have given him that. It's definitely the Pelicans game, because he's been a nice bench option for a bench where they don't really have a lot of weapons, so he's been key for them.
And as we continue to get ready for the Western Conference semifinals, Warriors and Pelicans, we bring in R.C. Davis, who is known here in these parts for The Roundup, but also has a show with Scooter Berry, R.C. and Scooter. You can hear it on SoundCloud and soon, hopefully, 95.7 The Game, the flagship station, because these are great conversations that you and Scooter have. But now the topic has turned to what we're looking at with Anthony Davis, Alvin Gentry, and crew entering Oracle Arena for Game 1 on Saturday.
Well, who'd have thought the Pelicans would be the team waiting in the wings, getting rest for the Warriors to finish their series? That was a topic that Scooter and I got into, but also the matchup, the Anthony Davis playoff rondo, Mirotić coming from getting punched in the face from his teammates and now being the darling of the league. There was a lot to talk about, and Scooter and I dive into it.
I think that's what the Warriors' mentality is going to be, is that they're going to say, look, our defense is better than any defense you're going to face. So you're going to get your points, but you're going to get them on taking more shots, touching the ball maybe less, making other guys shoot the ball in uncomfortable positions, not letting Mirotić come down and just rifle out threes, making right. him run off the line, you know, making Drew Holiday play defense not just 94 feet, but, you know, 194 feet, and running him east to west as much as north to south, and making him go off of multiple screens, and seeing how well you feel after game two at home, in you know, two games on the road of being able to run through multiple screens and trying to guard someone that's one of the best scorers, and then coming back on offense, he's going to play against one of the best defenders. I think that people are not giving the Warriors enough credit for what their defense does to other teams' offenses.
Without a doubt, they haven't been giving the Warriors' defense much credit for a while now. But anyway, well, we will talk.
But you ask the Warriors, RC, you ask any of the Warriors, and I guarantee you the players will say that we've got to lock down our defense, and that defense will be their first thing that they talk about, because they know that their defense creates offense. And so if they play really good defense, it makes their offense easier.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number 19 in the books.
It's gonna be fun, man. It is a great playoff. Probably one of the best NBA playoffs from first round that I remember. And it's going to continue into the second round to be really a fun playoffs to watch at both ends.
I think so, too. And I think, you know, it goes back to the Pelicans beating Portland and people calling it an upset. Well, they only lost one game fewer than them in the regular season. So I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, that wasn't an upset, in my opinion, at all. And I think Portland, you know, I think Portland is struggling to figure out their identity because they rely so much on McCollum and Lillard that when those two guys didn't play well, they didn't win.
Well, I don't think Harkless and Aminu are starters. I just don't think they're starters. And as good as Nurkic is, you know, you can have a three like that, but man, and they had a chance to get Mirotić. He was out there. He was on their radar.
That would have been huge for them.
Yeah,
huge.
He was
obviously
available.
We're talking about it because he's playing the way he is now. When he was in Chicago, you didn't value him as much as you do now, so that's probably why they didn't jump out of their skin to get him. But if he had the reputation he has now and became available, everybody would go after him.
And what a year he's had! He's gone from being punched in the face by a teammate, demanding a trade, ending up. Yeah. And then just now he's like the darling of the. I mean, he's what everybody
shaved
wants.
The beard, yeah. He shaved the beard, became a new person.
Unbelievable.
You know, those are the kind of fun stories that make it. You know, a sport. It's not a stat sport. You know, the basketball is not like baseball, and just covered in statistics and thinking. There's a lot more, I think, emotion and a lot more human aspect to the sport that makes it so enticing for everybody because there are so many stories within stories.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, we will talk soon. This was 19.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be good for us to talk after we see what happens with Steph. You know, if Steph comes back, then I'm sure there's going to be some good discussion about what the Warriors do differently, how they look, and how that affects the way that they play. So hopefully, you know, Steph comes back and is, I'm sure, going to be healthy, but will be, you know, game ready. And that might take a little bit of time, too. So I'm not putting a lot of pressure on him to come back and score 40 points like he's done in the past.
Right.
But I think it's going to be refreshing just from a mental standpoint for the whole team to have, you know, him back on the floor or even just in uniform on the bench.
So, RC, your feelings about the early part of this series and what the Warriors need to assert when you look at what the Pelicans did against Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers?
Well, what was odd was Drew Holiday went off in the first round, and that's probably one of the only matchups in which he'll have a size advantage over his defender. He won't have that with Clay. He won't have that moving forward. But Drew Holiday, people forget he was a 20-year-old all-star in this league. People forget Rondo, he knows when the lights are on. And Anthony Davis, he's becoming one of those guys that can win a series all by himself. This is going to be a great series. This will not be a short-lived series, whether Steph Curry is healthy or not.
RC, we are looking forward to it. Warriors and Pelicans, Game 1 of the Western Conference Semifinals on Saturday night at Oracle Arena. I'm Lawrence Scott, and this is Warrior Sound.